Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Coming up today on the Football Ramble. It's a fake pitch.
Yeah.
No, it's real. You can play on it.
It's just artificial.
Yes, it's fake grass. Very much fake grass. Yeah. But that's the true magic of the game. Did you see the pitch hovering?
Like when Phil Neville called the disappearing spray referees use the imaginary spray.
He just seems to be unconfident. I think he had more chances in one half than I've seen any player have this season.
If I go back to England, if I can change their attitudes, yeah. if I could just make it a better place.
Just another rainbow, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Maidstone and the Magpies are through to the fourth round, but Arsenal are not. It's Monday, 8th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidusha Nahantaraja.
Hey, it's Monday, everybody. It's the start of the working week, and we're here with you.
Yeah, the weekend lock has been closed again.
Again.
But we kept alive by the promise that it will, of course, open once more on Friday.
Yeah, this week.
Yeah,
this once more this week.
This Friday.
Fish looked panicked there.
No, I was excited. Yeah. Early. All
right.
Pre-weekend on Wednesday. Here we go.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a way, you know, with the football that's going to happen tonight, a little bit more FA Cup, it'll feel like the gate is
Fish is like a new man.
Yes.
May not haven't played a game.
He's had a wonderful week. Yeah. You look
been
refreshed.
Been lovely.
You look happy.
Yeah.
And let's see if you are later.
Yeah, let's.
But before we get to the FA Cup, everybody, we have a winner for our final Toshiba Fire QLED TV. It is Joe Haysom, everybody!
Hey! Well done, Joe.
Big Joe Hay.
Hey, Joe, where are you going with that TV in your hand?
Yeah.
Hands, it's a 50-inch.
Yeah, actually, yeah. You said that before.
He won't be Sleepy Joe with all the light coming out of his 50-inch, will he?
He won't.
No. If we entertain Joe, you would imagine. Well, Joe, we've emailed you, so please respond with your address and the good people at Toshiba will get your brand new 50-inch TV delivered to you right away. Thank you so much to everyone who entered. Keep your eyes open for another competition very, very soon, because if you didn't win this time, unlucks, you could win another time.
It could be you.
It could well be. It wasn't you this time.
No.
Unless you're Joe or the other two winners.
Yeah.
You know how this works.
Yeah, but it's always another opportunity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right, everybody, let's get down to it. Highlights of the weekend. Luke Moore.
Cardiff had 22 shots against Sheffield Wednesday, including two penalties, and lost 4-0.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. It's a good day out, isn't it?
Very good day
Cameron
out.
Cameron Dawson saved both penalties inside 3 minutes. One of them he saved very nonchalantly as well. And I was thinking to myself, that's a terrible day out for all the fans that went.
Yeah.
But it's hard to think of a more unfortunate day at the office unless your name is Dan Ballard.
Yeah.
Which we'll probably come on to.
He didn't have a good time.
So I just thought that was an extraordinary set of statistics. I just thought it was extraordinary, Des.
Yeah, it was extraordinary.
Yeah,
as you say, the nonchalant save, when it's just so lovely, isn't it, the way the ball kind of cans up off him and he just looks at it and goes, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Like a cricketer-ish who's just been edged all the way up in the sky and he takes it and says, that's lunch, thanks very much.
There's a few bits of that I take umbrage with. But
he's saying that because you like cricket.
True, yeah. I wouldn't be an edge, would it, if it goes up in the air, I suppose.
It could be a leading edge.
So what did I say wrong then?
You just some of the language was off. We don't have to get into it.
Do you want more swear words next time?
A little, you're a couple. Yeah.
What I don't like about this is Vish has been ungrateful. You're trying to reach an olive branch of sport to the man of the bat.
Right.
And he's just throwing it right back in your face.
He's like,
that olive branch, that can't hit a six.
That's going right up your bum.
I'm a man of the bat, but right now you're being a man of the piss. So.
Yeah.
All right. You're a man of the prat, more like. Right. What's your highlight of the week?
My highlight of the weekend is Liverpool fans on their way back from the Emirates singing the Mo Salah song at the Finsbury Park Mosque. Just thoroughly enjoyable. Check out the video.
It's great stuff.
_LFC_. It's so loving and just so funny. The camera work is exceptional because they're obviously being led from the ground to Finsbury Park to head home and they're just all singing it. And then as it gets to the crescendo, he just pans to his left and zooms on Finsbury Park Mosque. Just brilliant.
And speaking of Mo Salah, he played for Egypt against Tanzania in a warm-up game, didn't he, yesterday?
He did.
They won, but he didn't score.
No.
So Liverpool fans, don't really need, do you need him?
No,
do you
need I'd say him? Not. I'd say not at the moment.
What about yours, Marcus? What's your highlight of the weekend?
Oh, I mean, there was a fair few. I think Kevin De Bruyne's hair.
Oh, that's great.
Hey?
Kevin De Bruyne's back and it's just a bit like, okay, right. Now we're getting on with it, are we?
Yeah.
Now this is going to be tedious now.
But there's something about
Winter Soldier, is it? Oh, well done.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But there's something about the hair which makes it more kind of, ominous is maybe not the right word, but a bit more inevitable.
Yeah.
That he's going to be great. It looks a bit flashier.
You know the bit where he's with them training in Saudi Arabia and he's got the beard?
Beard, yeah.
And you know when people...
I was sad to the beard go, by the way.
Yeah, but you know when people come back from... You know, we talked about him going on like a... Not a pilgrimage, but like finding himself, going into the forest and coming out. But you know when they come back to the modern world, they're like, right, here's a razor. And they just... Yep. There's a montage of them in the mirror shaving and like just staring dead ahead in their own reflection.
De Bruyne's return to me is reminiscent of when in the 2003 documentary movie Some Kind of Monster, where they film Metallica recording a new album. And just halfway through the film, James Hetfield leaves and doesn't come back for 6 months because he goes hunting and wants to dry himself out. And he just comes back and it was, all right, we'll get on with it again.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that.
Because
he's the main one. And De Bruyne is the main one as well.
Yeah, but it's specifically his hair, though. It's great to see a great player. But my actual highlight, actually, really, the weekend was just in general, George Elokobi.
Yeah. Lovely fella.
Just a brilliant bloke.
Yeah, I heard him on the radio in the aftermath of the Maidstone victory, and he's just the loveliest bloke in the world.
He personifies the purity and the magic of the FA Cup.
I think that's right. You're right to say that. You're very right to say that.
And that's where we're beginning now, everybody. Yeah.
First on Match of the Day, Maidstone. Can't have happened before.
Yeah, come on.
Cannot have happened before.
Nice to see they were on TV eventually.
Exactly.
exactly. But Maidstone won, Stevenage nil, of course. If you're a Stevenage fan, then unlucky. You finally got mentioned on the ramble.
Yeah.
But it's because you lost. Maidstone, they were the lowest ranked side left in the third round, of course. But they did beat League One Stevenage. And we saw a pitch invasion. We saw a young chap dressed as a banana.
We saw goals with the wheels on them.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, exactly. And it's because it's a fake pitch.
Yeah. So, no, it's real. You can play on it. It's just artificial.
Yes, it's fake grass. Very much fake grass. Yeah. But that's the true magic of the game. Did you see the pitch hovering?
Like when Phil Neville called the disappearing spray referees use the imaginary spray. Like everyone gets to just buy into it.
Exactly.
It's like Fight Club.
Yeah. No, but I like to think that the goals, though, you know, after quick get everybody off the pitch because there's a booking at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you not see the other 22 players waiting on the side of the pitch? Like, should we go on now?
Six o'clock.
Yeah. No, but it was absolutely incredible, was it not? And Stevenage had so many chances.
Well, it was interesting because
it was a robbery.
In the first half, it was quite even. Maidstone did okay.
Yeah.
They had a few chances themselves. Obviously scored just before half time.
Yeah. Talk to me about the second half.
Second half they got second half it was overwhelming.
It was incredible how Stevenage had chance after chance, the one it hit the bar, the post. Yeah. But the stones went through.
They did. And the bar and the post, I don't think you should gloss over that. I mean, that was an extraordinarily poor miss.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I mean, it comes to him fairly quickly, but he's really a yard out.
Yeah, that is the magic of the cup.
It is.
In a regular game, he'd have scored. But for some reason, though, his foot couldn't quite get on it.
Can you describe the magic of the FA Cup? Well, it makes professional players look shit for no reason.
Yeah.
And that's why we like it.
It makes the lower team.
Oliver Ash, the owner of or co-owner of Maidstone, aka the Stones, he was absolutely fuming. And it reminded me of, you know when the BBC...
You should say why.
I'm going to come on to that.
Okay.
But the BBC say they'll go to... So the game was at Stevenage,
yeah,
and it was Stevenage versus Maidstone, and they'll speak to, say, the Stevenage manager before, and he'll say something like, oh, well, there's a reason you're all here, you want an upset. And they got a bit pissed off, because you're only here for one reason, you want to see the other team do well, and I don't like that very much. Yeah. It's just got the inverse of that, because after the game, Oliver Ash said, most people are amazed the cameras are not here. I get that more people support Everton than Crystal Palace, so the TV companies think they will get more viewers than Maidstone. But it's a shame because the competition is all about games like ours. And I totally agree. And I would just go on to say, one thing is that, you know, the BBC have a mandate to entertain, inform, to provide something maybe a little bit different from commercial TV stations. There's absolutely no reason they shouldn't be doing this, and that they should be showing, you know, just random Premier League games or Premier League games by another name in another competition, because it's fucking boring, as it was, as we saw on Thursday night. And the second thing is, I thought, Oliver Ash... Not sure you'd be saying that if it got battered. Yeah. He'd be saying, I'm pleased to put the cameras on here.
He wouldn't have signed off with, so let's get Manchester City down to the Gallagher.
Fast forward to 2 weeks' time, and he's going to be running around going, you can't use that.
Yeah.
You can't use that footage. I'm not signed off on that.
It'd be nice to see, though, if Man City did go there. It'd be nice to see Liam Gallagher at the Gallagher.
It would be good. Yeah. Gallagher squared.
But I think this is poor, because a mate of mine does the cameras for Match of the Day. You know, he's often at grounds much of that, and he lives down in Kent. Could have sent him.
Didn't bother though.
No,
that's a shame.
All there for them.
That's why you're annoyed.
I'm very annoyed.
George Ellacobi said that he really wanted Wolves, didn't he? He said, "Let me take my babies up to Wolves."
Yeah. I love that. I love that. As if he couldn't get any more lovely when he referred to the team as babies.
Also, like, he's strong enough. I reckon he could cradle his team up.
The charming BBC presenter said this to him. He said, years ago, FIFA had you down, probably, I assume, on the game.
Yeah, he said
the
that
second
to
or third strongest player. Then he did sort of touching him up.
Don't do that.
You can't just... But Big George was just stood there as if to say...
It's happens all the time.
All right. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, yeah.
I don't get to pet him.
Yeah, it was as if to say, all right, but a couple more of them and I'll show you just how strong I am.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm a football manager here. You would do... Oh, Pep, you're a bit bored. Slap his little head.
I'd love to see that. Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Just take Klopp's glasses.
Yeah. It was super.
You get to shine them.
You're growing the goatee, aren't you, Deserby? Chin, chin, chin.
Yeah.
So that was...
Can I see myself in your teeth, Jürgen?
Give McCarthy his balls a little tickle. Give him a little tickle.
Oh, you've gone too far.
You'd mess his hair up, wouldn't you? The thing about the, you know, just to linger on the BBC not choosing this game... to show live, like, we've seen it with terrestrial broadcasters with the FA Cup, that as soon as they get an All Premier League tie, they almost want that big matchup as an audition. They almost think, well, you know, everyone's talking about it, so we should really get in on this. And they don't think of the bigger picture, which, as Luke says, is like, give people something a bit different, gives them something interesting. Was it really, you know, I like the fact that he mentions Palace Everton, because that was a terrible game. He could have really thrown Burnley Spurs in there, but they're not really thinking about that, are they? Like, it's easier for us to say, but the person who makes that decision is just thinking of, like, all social media engagement clips, this, that, the other.
I just don't understand the logic behind. For example, another an even further kind of even poorer example, really, than this would be that they had the rights to and they picked Manchester City at home to Huddersfield, and they put it on the red button.
So
no one's going to fucking watch it anyway.
Well, even today, like, what you've they've been paying attention to the Premier League. You know, you have Match of the Day. At what point do you think, you know what would entertain people on a Monday night? Manchester United, Wigan.
Yep. To be fair, Vish, speaking as a neutral, that could be very entertaining.
Speaking as a Manchester United fan, I do not agree.
I take your points, but I think the one is, say, something like a tie like Man City versus Huddersfield, which is obviously... I understand if they want to show Arsenal v Liverpool in the cup. Come on.
I think Vish, I think Marcus is right on that front. I think Arsenal versus Liverpool is clearly the standout tie of the round.
Yeah.
So you, it's justifiable to show that.
But three out of the four days, they've had all Premier League games.
So
and only
thing,
one was interesting.
Absolutely. They do have a mandate, I think, as you know, you can interpret the charter however you want. There's lots of different political stuff around it. No time to go into that now. But they should be showing things that other commercial stations, to an extent, can't show because of the they have to worry about ratings. The bottom line is commercial stations can fail for commercial reasons.
Yeah,
the BBC
yeah.
cannot do that. Therefore, it shouldn't be trying to compete in that way. So that's what where the problem comes from. I think.
Just very quickly, you're going to get your big games as the competition progresses.
Exactly
that's
what I was about
works.
To say. Exactly yeah. what I was about to say.
Well, we want to see Maidstone on TV.
100%. And the good thing is now yeah. there's very, very little chance. They won't show Maidstone because only nine non-league teams have ever made the fifth round.
Yeah.
And only one's ever made the sixth round.
Yeah.
So now they're in the fourth round.
Well, and also, as you said, co-owner Oliver Ash has highlighted it as well.
Yeah.
In an Arsenal-esque type way.
Yeah.
So he can't be ignored.
It's a bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Or Sir Alex back in the day. National League Eastleigh are still in the cup. They earned a draw at Newport County, which was quite unlikely, really, because they were down to 10 men for a long time in that game, and they were 1-0 down. So incredible they fought their way back. So very much kudos to them. Heartbreak for Chesterfield, though.
Yeah.
1-0
up. That was a shocker.
1-0 up at Watford, and then conceding equaliser in the 76th minute. And they had chances as well.
Yeah,
They had chances.
I was just watching the highlights going, oh, lads. It's a shame.
It's really sad seeing. It was really sad seeing the Chesterfield players just falling to their knees.
Yeah, but the 95th minute, and of course when Watford score, they're kind of like, oh yeah, that's good. That's lovely. That is.
They weren't even really that buoyed by it.
Yeah, if you didn't know it was a 95th minute winner, and you watch the highlights, you'd think, oh, there's probably like 20 minutes to go or something.
Yeah.
But they're out, and that is the harshness of the FA Cup as well. We talk about the magic, we talk about the romance, but also there's a brutal edge to it, Luke Moore.
There is, like much like me.
Yeah, and you know, because Portsmouth didn't even make the third round.
No. I think, off the top of my head here, I might have blocked out a mark. I think they might have been knocked out by Chesterfield.
They were.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Mm. So there we go. Fuck them. That's what you get.
Yeah, it's a shame because...
That's what you get.
They've embarrassed themselves there because Pompey would have got battered by Watford.
I mean, at least Brighton went through representing the South Coast, but Portsmouth, of course, the last South Coast side to have won the competition.
Absolutely right. You could also argue that Eastleigh are sort of a South Coast side.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
Southampton-based Eastleigh is their Solly March name.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Right then, gentlemen, let's go to the North East. Sunderland 0, Newcastle United 3. I really regret not saying to you, Luke, when you were full of it for Sunderland on Friday. You do realise Newcastle are a much better team, though.
Yeah, you should have said that, shouldn't you? It's easy to say it now, isn't it? Yeah, you won't get as much kudos.
Well, actually, do you know what? I did, but it was edited out repeatedly.
Oh, was it? Fucking those bastards.
Those bastards. Yeah.
Why don't you tell me that Gillingham might not beat Sheffield United?
It's fair to say I called this one wrong, but I didn't expect, and maybe Sunderland fans will chuckle at this because they've seen him play a lot. I haven't. That Dan Ballard would have such a bad game.
The Ballard of Dan.
Yeah, I mean, he should have given away two penalties. He gave away one, and he scored an own goal.
Yeah,
it was a tough day at the office.
The own goal was... It was just one of those ones where Isak's probably going to put it in anyway.
Yeah, and but it goes on your record as an own goal in a derby game.
It does.
The first derby game for however many years.
Yeah. If he doesn't dive for it, that's a good cross, isn't it?
It's a very good cross.
Yeah.
The thing,
I mean, it's still a good cross.
But obviously, though, like, you know, next time just hook it away rather into the net. If you're listening,
do you not think that's what he was trying to do? I didn't consider that, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, his celebration.
I'm not letting him score.
Did you not see the celebration? He did a Klinsmann on the pitch. He was just face down
in front of his own fans.
I actually felt
everyone wants to score in front of their own fans, don't they?
I really felt for him. Actually,
I did too,
because he was gutted, and I think one of his teammates tried to pick him up. And he was just like, no, I just need a moment, really, to just process it. Because, oh dear, oh dear.
The only thing missing was him getting sent. I mean, he was booked, but he didn't get sent off. I mean, he just had one of those days, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for Sunderland, you know, at home in a big derby game. But as you've rightly pointed out, Marcus, you know, Newcastle are a much better side. However, we are used to it in the FA Cup seeing these kind of things. What I found interesting was that Newcastle, perhaps because Sunderland just aren't anywhere near as good, but Newcastle were able just to find their gear.
Well, they were.
And don't forget, it's easy to be wise after the event, and I'm absolutely fine to take it on the chin. I called it totally wrong. It was a terrible take.
Apologise.
I apologise to everyone listening, but to no one in this studio.
What about to the Piff Posse?
I'm not apologising. unless they make me, which they may do.
I was about
at
to
some
say.
Point. I would just like to say that part of the build up, part of the narrative into this game was the fact that Newcastle looked like dead on their feet. Mm. Yet there was a doubt that they could find, they were actually physically able to lift themselves, but of course they were. What they were able to do was far good enough. It was Joe Linton who played the crossing for the opening goal, wasn't it? It was a beauty as well. So, yeah, that's how it goes.
I think this was the perfect game for Newcastle to try and get back on track. I think we were all thinking, oh, if they lose it,
if they lose it, it'd be absolutely disastrous.
That'd be damn because they win it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate we didn't say it, but I suppose the reasons for the upset are the reasons why this should be considered quite a nourishing win for Newcastle, because it gets them out of that rut and does so in quite a pronounced way.
A nourishing win is a lovely description.
Yeah, it just felt like that, didn't it? Mm. There was a point, actually, where I wondered if, you know, it's easy to throw these things out there. I wondered if Sunderland, like, wanted it a bit too much. I think there was about 15 minutes in where I was like, lads, calm down a bit.
Yeah.
It felt like every 50, sometimes there'll be a 60-40 or, you know, 70-30 in Sunderland's favour. Yeah. And the midfielder would go to ground. You're like, what are you doing? Just take the ball on. But
I was well disappointed by a lot of their players' performances, the exception, I think, of Alex Pritchard, who played well.
He
I wondered whether it's because he came through Spurs, a big club, he's played for Spurs. You know, I wondered if he just kind of was a bit more used to it. He seemed to be quite bright, but other than that, it was very, very disappointing for them. But you know, as Marcus rightly says, you know, sometimes it just comes down to them playing against a far better team. Yeah,
but you make a good point there, Vish, about the occasion and the way Sunderland responded, because again, like, you always think, right, let's G ourselves up, let's get subscribers, you know, get everybody in the fans and all that, and you think, yes, that's exactly what we should do, but that does mean you might be too pumped, and you've got to, within that surge of energy, you've got to be controlled and disciplined.
Yeah, they're a better team than what we saw on the weekend, and I think it'd be wrong for people watching them for the first time to come away with the opinion that the gulf is as big as it looked, as it did on the weekend.
A very young side, of
course. Yeah, well, that's an important part as well. The other thing is, like, I think this was also an extension of what we've seen from Newcastle over, you know, during Eddie Howe's tenure, really. Like, they seem to just step through, like, the season quite well in terms of they absorb a lot of information and put it out in very different ways. And I suppose we can start with how they immediately took to Howe's methods, how they immediately kind of nailed the pressing game. I know, like, a lot of their issues at the moment can be traced back to, I suppose, doing that a little too much and not necessarily having a plan B, let's say. But even, you know, the way they acquitted themselves against PSG in that first home game, the way they acquitted themselves for most of that return fixture with PSG in Paris, they do manage occasions quite well.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And so I think the way they played it, like, the atmosphere was incredible. The commentators were saying before, weren't they, that, like, even up until kickoff, you're like, God, this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And they just rode it out quite comfortably.
It's easy to be wise after the event, of course. But again, what you're just saying there, this was the perfect cup tie for Newcastle in a sense, because if they were away to, I don't know, another Championship side who were doing pretty well, you could see them going, we could have maybe stayed at home.
Could get run raggedy.
You know what I mean? And so on. Whereas this, it was like, right, lads, all on it now.
Yeah.
We cannot lose this game. We've had a bad run, and obviously that win did end a 9-game winless run. But this is us now.
It wakes you up a bit, doesn't it?
It did, exactly. Yeah. It wakes you up.
And really from the off, wasn't it? Sean Longstaff had those two early chances. And from that point on, it was like, okay, right, this is how this is going to go.
And when you got Jason Tindall there pulling the strings, the emotional strings.
He was doing
a bit on choreography.
He was doing bits after. But the thing is, though, he's doing bits after. For those who haven't seen it, Jason Tindall's been caught on camera.
He was very much, he wasn't trying to hide it.
No, he's orchestrated a kind of team fight in front of the away end, right?
Yes.
Is it in front of the way end or at the front?
Yeah.
Let's do it in front of them.
This is Jason Tindall we're talking about. But the thing is, and he's got quite a lot of stick for it online. People going, it's typical Tindall again. And of course, we give him quite a bit of stick here. But what we have to do is acknowledge that is really why they love him.
Totally. So
it's that kind of conduit between the players and the manager, the kind of the man about town type vibe of it, is exactly what his role really is, isn't it?
And you need someone in a position like that who is attuned to the fan base. And obviously it's easy for everyone who isn't a Newcastle fan to find that annoying and to find him disagreeable, but he's not in that position, he's not at that club to appease other fans, is he?
And also, again, you know, we're obviously critical and, you know, concerned about their current ownership, but the previous ownership was so out of touch.
Yeah,
it was just so
he's basically a useful idiot for the ownership then.
I don't know about the ownership. I think he would be perhaps doing this wherever he was. I don't know what he was like at Bournemouth. Perhaps not this, because we didn't know too much. But the point is, though, that there is that connection and the fans are loving it. I don't think the fans are thinking... Well, maybe they do. Maybe a few of them go, he's a bit of a clown.
I think Pete thinks he's a clown, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, and I mean, Pete barely speaks on behalf of himself, though, yeah, let alone the rest of the fan base.
Pete was probably watching this fuming.
Yeah, I don't think... Listen, I'll stick my neck out here. He's not here to defend himself. So I don't think Jason Tindall's Pete's kind of guy, to be perfectly honest.
He's more your type of guy.
Yeah, well, listen, if you're listening, Jason...
I think if Pete,
I'll have a drink with you, Jason.
Go up the big market.
Yeah.
Because he'll be there.
Yeah. It's like, well, just to, you know, reappropriate a Lord Ramble saying, I reckon Pete would never go out with Jason Tindall, but if he was out, he'd stay out.
Oh, Pete would stay out with anyone for about half an hour. He'll find someone else.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But they got their photo. They did it on the pitch this time instead of in the dressing room, because that's what they always do. That is the one of their traditions. Gentlemen, before we go for a break, a little quick mench for the Coupe de France. Mm. We spoke about the Cup of France on the mailbag on Saturday, and we spoke about how it was, you know, it's an extraordinary competition and reaches so far and wide because some little tiny French
territories
is the word I'm looking for. In the Caribbean, for example, they play in the cup, and so we had the team called Golden Lion traveled all the way to Lille, an 8,000-mile round trip, by the way. And we talked about the magic of the Coupe de France, because magic is not just English, of course, even though most of it is. And Lille very much tapped into that magic by beating the side from the tiny Caribbean island 12-0. So yeah, I thought that was a bit...
Cheers for coming.
Come on. At 6-7, can you not just...
Well, did you know what Paulo Fonseca, the manager of Lille, said?
Go on.
He said it was important that we took this seriously and respected our opponents.
7-0 at half-time.
We really respected our opponent, and that's what satisfies me most. Mm. In many ways, it feels like you're protesting too much there.
Yeah, it does a bit. Now, but he does have a point, though, because if you're respecting your opponent, you're still just going to keep playing your game. Because I was going to say, come on, at that point, surely it's, you know, headers and volleys, overhead kicks. But that would be disrespecting your opponent.
But I think there's a middle ground, isn't there? Between what you're talking about, then, which is disgraceful, and what they've done. Yeah. I love that's where you're... So this is very much the opinion of a man who hums the Match of the Day theme tune when he's beating you 8-0 on FIFA. That's exactly where Marcus's mind goes. Don't worry about that. The mask is slipped for 10 seconds there. That's okay, Marcus. We'll get past it.
Appreciate that.
But I think there's a way of just saying, you know what? It's 6 or 7... It's fine.
Yeah.
They've got a long flight tomorrow.
Goalkeeper up front.
Yeah.
Work for our bro.
Let's just get the Olays going.
There we go.
What's a French Olay?
Yeah. I don't know.
Very good.
Andy Brassel's not here.
He's not here.
Yeah. But it's an incredible win for Lille.
I know.
But the thing is, what I like, I do like a double figures. You don't see it enough, but I don't like it in this context. I like it when, and respect to you.
I knew you were going with this. Go on.
I like a big game between, say, Liverpool, Man United, and one of the teams, fill in the blanks yourself, has a terrible day at the office and gets whopped 10-0. That's amazing.
But we didn't see double figures, though.
No, I'm just saying, but it would be great if that was the case. The context.
There was one in the Eredivisie a few years ago. Was it?
There was.
Beat someone 10.
I think so, yeah.
We want 10.
Yeah.
Well, bloody hell, we got it.
Yeah.
There's been
a couple of nines in the Premier League, of course. A
couple of nines,
yeah,
but not a 10. No. Is it even possible to get a 10? I don't know.
Our 10's getting harder.
May not have planned tonight, we'll see.
Yeah. Old Eric Nienhuis.
Well, I didn't even think of it being the for my team. That's how bad it is.
Imagine if Man
United... We can cut to 10.
I mean, if Man United lose 10-0 to Wigan, we're doing a show after. We'll do it. I'll go around your house. I don't care. You live miles away. I'm coming over.
We're assembling.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, whatever you're doing, stop.
Shut the
get
back
there.
Signal up.
You've got to get there. That's it. Something big is going on.
You get an alert on your phone.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Right. Well, obviously, this weekend has been all about the FA Cup. But if you want to hear a few of our bright ideas for spicing up the Carabao Cup, then listen back to last Monday's episode revealing our New Year's resolutions for football. We just want managers to be able to dress each other for one fixture every season. Is that too much to ask, everybody?
Shouldn't be, should it?
No.
Yeah.
So I think you need to get involved there and sign the petition, which perhaps we'll get up on the social media on the 12th of never. Right, time for a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Has he made a save? You know, I don't feel we've worked Oldham's goalkeeper anywhere near enough, but it looked like it was peaked and now to a 1-0 win.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. That was the voice of Paul Cook.
The great Paul Cook.
Yeah, couldn't believe he's like...
There's two voices of Paul Cook. Tyler Durden. Durden of football.
I thought it was Claudio Ranieri. I have flashbacks to when Oldham beat Fulham at Craven Cottage in the FA Cup.
5 years ago, that was.
About five years ago this week.
About 2019, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mitrovic missed penalty. Yeah. Now we've not got him, so don't need him. Putting those penalties away.
Yeah.
Right, thanks to Friend of the Ramble, Jake, for choosing that clip. You can become a Friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble.
Yeah, it's time for the aforementioned Football Ramble Ecker with Betfair. We'll do a quick update every Monday we can. Every weekend we're placing a £10 Ecker on 4 match odds, 90 markets across the Premier League, or in this case the FA Cup, where any winning bets are paid out at 90 minutes, so you don't need to worry about any stoppage time drama ruining your bet. Game number one, Marcus picked Leicester to beat Millwall. Marcus?
Yeah, Leicester 1-3-2.
There we go.
Prove me right.
Jim picked Arsenal in game two to draw with Liverpool. Liverpool 1-2-0. Vish picked Gillingham to beat Sheffield United. Very much taking the heat away from me here because they lost 4-0. So congratulations.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a dreamer.
Yeah. You're not the only one because I picked Sunderland to beat Newcastle and they lost 3-0 as we've talked about. So it was not really a near miss for us this time, but we will be back on Friday with another one. Remember with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, you will get your winning bet paid out in full at 90 minutes.
That's right. That's right. Now, everybody, before we go back to the FA Cup, we've been keeping a keen eye on Skelmersdale United and former Spurs man Pascal Chimbonda. Obviously, he's in charge there, the manager, especially when he was sent off less than a week after joining for leaving his technical error during a game against Barnsley Town.
Barnsley Town?
Yeah.
Great name.
Great name.
Sounds like a fictional team you'd make up for American production of a British film.
Doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Barnsley Town.
Mm-hmm. Against Bonnie Rig Rose.
There we go. Who played for them?
Reportedly Sean Connery.
I'm surprised you've not done a Sean Connery impression there.
Yeah, so I might actually.
It's really important.
But the funny thing was, because didn't he move to Argentina?
Who?
Sean Connery in
Did
later
he?
Life.
Well,
yeah.
What has he done?
I heard he played for Boca Juniors. I think he did move to Argentina.
Worth it though if he didn't.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Let's not get Marcus on the Last Crusade again because he'll never shut up again about it.
Is that your favourite one?
It is. What have I just fucking said? What have I literally just said? For goodness sake, Vish.
It's everyone's favourite one, apart from a couple of people who,
right,
who go to the studio.
Pascal Chimbonde has a 5-game ban at Skelmersdale United. Back to you, Marcus.
Back to me?
Yeah.
Okay. he was given a 5-match ban, but the FA have reduced it to 3 on appeal.
Yeah.
So
where did he go to get a 5-match ban?
Yeah, the post office.
It's one thing leaving your team. Where did he go?
I've no idea. Skelmersdale released a statement saying, providing there aren't any postponements over the next few games, Pascal will be able to return to the dugouts in time for our away game at Gig Lane, Bury. In other news, Pascal's now registered as a player. Come on. And could indeed see him play against Bury on Saturday, 27th of January.
So I thought they were doing this, when I initially saw it, to bypass the law in some way. But it's just a ban outright, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. If it was to bypass the law, that would have been sensational.
I was like wondering if there were ways around it. But obviously a ban is a ban. It doesn't necessarily matter if you're on the field.
It's a stadium ban,
or just off the field,
He's taken them fairly recently at Skelmersdale, and they are awful. I mean, they're rock bottom of the division they're in. They've conceded 86 goals in 30 games.
They need him.
But you do get a trip to FC Isle of Man in that division, which is a lovely little day out.
That is
so
nice.
You know, it's not all bad.
Not all bad, of course. No. All right, back to the FA Cup then. Arsenal 0, Liverpool 2. Arsenal have now won just one game in their last 7 in all competitions. Who is going to be their Jason Tindall and get them back on track?
Well, I think Mikel Arteta thinks it's him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's just a very angry version of it. In fact, like, they do look fairly similar. It's like an angry Spanish Tindall, isn't
you know,
it?
Yeah, you know, if you went on like ChatGPT and it's like, give me a photo of a handsome man, and you'll get Tindall. It's like, right now, Spanish him.
Yeah,
Spanish.
And make him shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Mikel Arteta. It was a very, very... So I was kind of... I literally, in my kitchen, while I was cooking, while this game was on...
What were you cooking?
I actually cooked a sea bass risotto.
Oven chips don't count as cooking.
Is.
Well, I've just told you what I'm cooking.
Yeah, so what did you really cook?
A sea bass risotto.
Really?
Yes.
Microwavable?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fair enough. It was a bit rich coming from you. We'll leave that there. I heard Arsenal fans booing at the end of the game, and I just had a little laugh to myself. I couldn't help it. I was like, oh, we go. Okay, right. But then I thought, actually... It's a kind of frustrating afternoon for a number of reasons. One is that they've been drawn against Liverpool in the FA Cup. We all know how you feel about being drawn against Liverpool in the Carabao Cup.
It's
frustrating.
It is.
Secondly, they've had a hatful of chances and missed them all and have really come off the end of not a robbery, but like a really fucking unfortunate day out.
Yeah.
And now they're out the cup, you know, which they've won fairly recently.
Well,
so
I mean,
you can understand why they're a bit frustrated.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, this is a perfect time to follow up on what I said on Friday. I just think there's quite a lot of entitlement around the club at the moment.
Well, do you? Well,
yeah.
They were fairly entitled to think they should have been a goal up, though, Vish, shouldn't they?
Yeah, you know, like they were everything that we've talked about recently about them when they've been in this form. They were very ponderous. It felt like a lot of the players, when they had openings, wanted a better opening, so would take an extra touch and like lose whatever avenue they had. And I understand the complaints about, or rather the want of a striker in the January transfer window, someone to finish those chances.
Yeah.
But you also look at some of them and you're like, just kick in the fucking goal.
Yeah.
Like, these are players who have scored before. Yeah. You know, I appreciate there's a conversation being had at the moment about whether their front three is world class. And there's a lot to be said of like, what constitutes world class, but also
I have never been happier to miss out on a conversation.
Yeah,
I have no idea that was happening.
Yeah, but you know, but rather that they're not world class, that's a conversation being had. But also just like, just fucking score.
Yeah.
Like there's so many opportunities that they like. For example, the Ramsdale ball over the top to Reece Nelson. It bounces perfectly for him to loft it over Alisson. Now I know that sounds like, you know, a bit rich from someone sat here in a chair saying, oh, you know, just love the keeper. But people at that level do that
often. I know
what
you mean. It's like if the keeper's way out of his box and you've got pace, you go around him.
And then when you've gone around him and you've lost the opportunity, square it to Saka. There is an open lane there. But obviously in Reece Nelson's head, he's a bit, you know, frustrated. He's like, I'll just shoot from this impossible angle. And actually, you think he did quite well to hit it off the post.
Yeah.
Well, I've never been more convinced a player wouldn't score.
That's
the problem. And when that really infects a team...
Mm-hmm. And that's a really good point. It has infected them, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, for me, it feels like if you're talking about a player who can go get goals for Arsenal, and Ian Wright actually tweeted during the game, we need a killer, is basically what he said, which is right. I should also point out Henry Winter tweeted that the Emirates was the only part of London without strikers, which was very, very good for Henry. But then literally 1 minute later, the RMT said the strike had been called off. So it's backfired on him again. Sorry about that, Henry. Maybe he's got more power than we realise. But what they seem to need to me is they've got Gabriel Jesus, who really gets involved, links up play well. He's everywhere. He's kind of really busy, always an option, always moving. And they've got Nketiah, who's, I think, a pretty good finisher, but doesn't get involved in the game very much. If they had like a combination of that, that I think they'd be fine. But it's easier said than done. And maybe they hope that Kai Havertz will be that. But he just seems to be unconfident. Or maybe it's just his manner, I don't know. But he seems unconfident. He just missed so many chances. I think he had more chances in one half that I've seen any player have this season.
It's hard to sort of pin this on one player. It just seems at the moment they are going through a rough period. And they need to sort it out quickly.
Are they too predictable, though, to you, do you think?
Possibly, but on another day, they do score a few of those chances. It's just, they're just in a rut at the moment, and teams can do that. This idea that one or two fans, and I'm not saying they're Arsenal fans, but people in football saying, oh, well, January, they've got to do something. The January window is not going to provide them with a top-class striker who's going to suddenly score 15 goals for the rest of the season.
And if you look at the last two January windows, I think they've got away with pulling out of certain, you know, who knows how far advanced they were. But obviously, there was a lot of Vlahovic talk. Yep. They didn't go for him in the end. And they're probably better for it, all told. There was a lot of Mudryk talk.
Yeah.
They didn't get there, and they're probably better for it as well. They got Trossard, who, by and large, has been very good.
Yeah,
for them.
He's done all right. Yeah.
I think there's, you know, the Jesus thing's funny because I mean I think he's brilliant at everything he does, and maybe he doesn't score, but then like the goals have to come from elsewhere.
Well, they share the goals around. I mean, Martinelli's not...
exactly. That's what they did well last year.
Yeah,
certainly at the start of that season. Yeah,
yeah, and I think it's just not quite happening. But I mean, look, okay, so they're out the cup, fine, but I mean they've progressed in Europe. They're still, you know, in a decent-ish position in the Premier League. You know, you have to remember that Liverpool have been very good in the league, or that certainly the results have been very good in the league. So I don't think they're just going through a bit of a bad patch. Mm. And the way they started the game, it was like, right, lads, today we sort it out. And it'll be so frustrating for Arteta and Arsenal because, like I say, on another day, one of those goes in and suddenly there's the confidence and you're away.
I thought the way they approached the game from the start was really good.
Compare that to the Fulham game, for example, where they were just awful. They weren't creating anything. You know, it was much better from Arsenal. It was just very unfortunate for them that Liverpool kind of rode their luck a little bit. And then, of course, at the other end of the pitch, they get a fortuitous own goal. And then
it was a great ball in, wasn't it?
It was. And then Diaz scores a beauty to finish it off.
But the way they started the game, I thought it was almost like they had said, right, they're without some big characters today. They're without Salah. They're without Van Dijk. We can really kind of blitz them early. And they actually they managed to achieve it. They just didn't score. And then, as you've alluded to there, Marcus, if you don't get a goal and you don't make it count, there's always going to be a period in the game where Liverpool are going to have some dominance. Mm-hmm. And they will score because that's what they're like. They seem to always score. What did you guys think of the fans booing at the end? It was very audible on the telly.
The Arsenal fans.
Yeah.
I can kind of understand it. They've been a bit of a rough patch. I think the only difference, as you pointed out, Marcus, was they started this game really well. Mm. Like really well. They were all over Liverpool. Liverpool were basically didn't let a glove on them in the first half.
No.
And actually, the bit in the second half where it got a bit frenetic, Arsenal were pretty good then. Arsenal were probably how they should be normally when Liverpool actually started knocking about quickly because then, you know, they left, there were a few more spaces in midfield to knock it about and Arsenal did that really well.
Yeah.
They almost need to be prodded into that. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you let them try and concoct that energy on their own, they just can't do it.
Yeah. Mm.
But the booing, I think that's fine.
Mm. It was a great win for Liverpool though.
Yeah, yeah. And also bear in mind that they played the strongest available team, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Like Salah's obviously not there. Van Dijk's injured. Mm-hmm. They were. I thought the young lads they brought on were really impressive as well, like Conor Bradley.
And what was particularly enjoyable was that Liverpool fan who joined in the celebrations after the first game. For some reason, Darwin Nunes saw him and just thought, there's a head I've got to slap. And if you watch the celebration, he just starts whacking him on the head. He's wearing a beanie.
Yeah.
And then Konate gets involved and starts whacking him on the head, thinking, oh, this is obviously like we're playing whack-a-mole or something. Yeah. This is something that we do to this guy. And then Konate takes his beanie off and just chucks it into the ground.
I read that as in you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be in this huddle with us. You get out.
Really?
Yeah, no, I thought
I didn't read that at all.
I thought it was like, you know, that period where Mitrovic would celebrate with people and hurt them. And like Haaland would do it with Royce, I think, at Dortmund.
Right.
He'd like start grabbing his neck when he scored.
Yeah.
I think it's just like...
I felt like it was like, yeah, come on, get involved, son.
Did you?
Yeah, I did,
it's a bit, yeah, it's a bit of mice and men, like, yeah. Not really knowing your strength and crushing a mouse, yeah.
Yeah, you like this? You want more of this? You want more football, do you? Yeah.
Also, when they threw his hat off, I thought, you know, sometimes... fans run on, celebrate, and then like scamper off, and then the away fans hide him.
Yeah.
Easily identifiable now because they've taken his hat off.
Yeah,
there it is. Pause it. That's him.
Just do a bit of DNA on the hat. You'll find him. No problem.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So Liverpool are through. Obviously, Manchester City are through. As we mentioned earlier, they kept up their proud tradition of thrashing Huddersfield with a 5-0 win. So one of the big boys is out of the cup in Arsenal, but I just
like the stat that. Kevin De Bruyne has the most assists of any player in Europe's top five leagues since the start of last season, and he's played three games this season.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah. One to avoid in the draw.
He's back. Yeah.
Where did I leave my sword? Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Little tip for you. Get knocked out early by Chesterfield. You ain't got to worry about all this stuff.
Don't have to do it.
I genuinely would be frightened if Portsmouth had to play Man City in the FA Cup because it'd probably be on telly. And it'll be embarrassing.
You know
totally
what,
embarrassing.
You know what they, you know, we spoke about at the start? Get them down to the Gallagher, get them on an artificial pitch, watch Pep lose his mind.
Yeah.
Watch De Bruyne just crumble.
Everyone playing Astros. Anyone
Pep,
with a dodgy knee.
Throughout the game,
Pep
would be on all fours, just touching the grass, going, now. Yeah.
Touching grass.
English bad, what's this?
I think, here's one for you. If Maystone, and Arsenal have been knocked out now, but if Maystone drew Arsenal and Arsenal had to play at that pitch, Arteta would be... basically writing letters every day between then and the fixture saying this can't happen. My players cannot play on that pitch. I promise you that'll be happening.
I think a few of them would do that.
I think a lot.
I think Klopp and Klopp would be
definitely.
Would do
Klopp, well, Klopp would be first of all focused on the time of the game.
12:30 on an artificial pitch.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Oh yeah, I'd love it. Do that, but make it 12:35. Yeah. Little bit of extra rest for you, pal.
That would be such a... Because the Newcastle game kicked off at 12:45,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, if they... Oh, you want it a bit
good
late,
news,
yeah.
Can we put the game back a bit for you? Just give you a bit of extra time to recover. Oh, great, thanks. 12:50.
Yeah. That would be so funny.
Yeah.
By the way, it's now sand AstroTurf.
So. Yeah, it's now 2G AstroTurf.
We're playing on the beach.
Yeah. By the way, you're going to get those little black things in your shoe afterwards.
Forever, yeah.
There's still some cup sets afoot, everybody, potentially. Because League One, Blackpool drew 2-2 with Nottingham Forest. They were 2-0 up. But still, it's a great result, though, you've got to say, especially with Forest having chances at the end. It was interesting that the former Forest player, an academy graduate, Jordan Lawrence Gabriel, scored the first goal, and then he held his hands up to sort of apologise instead of celebrate.
Yeah, and resident Forest fan of the Ramble, Tom Wally, he does a bit of work with us. He was saying that he was at the game, and he's been a Forest fan his whole life. He said, "I don't even remember the player."
No, why? Only what five
appearances or something?
Yeah.
What? And I understand people are different characters, and you know, you do what you got to do, and who's it for me to say? But. Would there not be an element of it where you'd be fucking get that up here?
Teach you for letting me go.
Yeah. Isn't there not an element of that?
I do not think that maybe he's doing that to highlight. You know, I used to be a Forest player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm actually better than this level.
In a way, it's a shop window.
Yeah.
I used to be someone.
Yeah.
I think we said on maybe an uncut or a mailbag where like I would do that if I was playing Real Madrid. So people are like, oh, he must have been on the books at some point.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
You also said it on one of our Patreon shows that if you in your fantasy career, you would play a couple of games with Sri Lanka, and then you decided, and I'm kind of quoting you, that you decided it would be beneath you, and then you go and play for England, and if England played Sri Lanka, you would do like a sort of an Adebayor-esque celebration.
Yeah, I would.
Good, nice insight into your mind. Very much the anti-Jordan Lawrence Gabriel, that, isn't it? Yeah.
Just, you know, wanted to make sure everybody knows that about fish.
It's don't give away the good stuff for free. People are supposed to pay for that.
That's true. Yeah, it's normally a small island. Only so many of them can be angry with me.
But yeah, so Blackpool, they've got themselves a replay, which Forrest presumably could have really done without. And that was certainly showed at the end when they were frantically trying to get a winner, as every team should, though.
I felt that was a little bit prevalent in the Arsenal game as well, but like they were going, right, someone's got to win this. It was actually 0-0 for ages, but it was actually a pretty good game.
Yeah.
And it was almost like they'd gone,
both sides.
It's better to do one game at 80% than two games at 65%.
Yeah.
Because they're playing each other on the 4th of February as well.
Correct,
so the replay, they would have played like, it'd be like that mad Real Madrid-Barcelona season.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I would have loved them to have got a replay, just an extra game in there.
Yeah.
Take your mind off that Fulham semi-final. Bristol City got a 1-1 draw at the London Stadium, which where West Ham play. concerns about Lucas Paquetá and Jarrod Bowen with regards to little knocks they got. So
yeah, Lucas Paquetá went off very early on, but not before he managed to lay an assist on for Jarrod Bowen. So he did
lovely
a job.
Goal that. Mm. Yeah, lovely, lovely goal. But yeah, so slight concern there, but hopefully they'll be okay.
And I think it's an interesting time for them to concede a late, a second half equaliser to a team in a league division below them, because it was a goal of great quality as well, the Tommy Conway goal. But it kind of feeds further into this chat about David Moyes, doesn't it? Like, you know, West Ham fans at the moment, mm-hmm. a section of them don't need an excuse to be annoyed at how they play. And this kind of thing probably further compounds that, I would say.
Maybe.
You're 1-0 up, you know, you should be able to put away a team once you've scored so early, and yeah. they weren't able to do that. And now they've got to go to Bristol City and play again. I do think there's a bit of an entitlement about like Premier League teams, well, now we've got to play another game. Well, you should have fucking won then.
Yeah,
you play League One Blackpool. You're playing Championship Bristol City. We'll win then.
Well, I think yeah,
the budgets are massive.
Yeah, but that's your job.
Yeah,
yeah, but you can rightly be a bit annoyed that.
Yeah,
you
but
didn't.
They're saying we've got to play another game. You're a part of that.
Oh yeah, no, no,
I
mean, with regards to fans who are unhappy with Moyes and their approach and not winning this game, when, as we've seen with say Palace, you know, when Roy Hodgson said recently, well, I don't know what they're moaning for, you know, and when Redknapp was, you know, some of the, especially the older managers quite long in the tooth, said, well, they've never had it so good, that kind of thing. And I loved it if Moyes just turned around and went, well, at the start of the day, someone said, you're going to still be in the cup at the end of the day. Well, you would have taken that, wouldn't you? Right, well, that's where we are.
Yeah. It's like with all the teams in replays, where they're like, oh, yeah, they're in the fourth round draw.
Yeah, that's yeah. it. Yeah. Still they in are. The draw. Gentlemen, a little bit of transfer news. As the January transfer window has been cracked open, Spurs have agreed a loan deal for former Chelsea man Timo Werner until the end of the season, with an option to buy for a fee believed to be somewhere between 15 and 20 million euros. An interesting signing, Vitushin. What do you think of this one?
I genuinely don't know what I think of it, because when he came to the league, I was like, this guy's going to be brilliant yeah. because he had that very good season with RB Leipzig. Mm-hmm.
And then he won a Champions League with Chelsea.
Yes, he did. He did do that. Yeah. Mm. As did Kai Havertz, who scored the winner, who now is a Chelsea, you know, yeah. Chelsea legend and still at the club, if I remember correctly. yeah, it's just... I honestly don't know. I know it's an extra body with Son being away. I know that he's someone who actually did a lot of his best work when he was in very good form, out left as an outlet, which would suit Spurs and the way they play and what they will miss from Son. Because do you remember, you know, Son started through the middle, but mm-hmm. it was only when he went out on the left that he really kind of, mm-hmm. I suppose, rediscovered his old self. And he was a very useful outlet for them. And it might be that the style of play, the direct nature of play that Spurs have, will get a bit more out of Werner because it'll be more space. I think one of the issues he had at Chelsea was that he didn't really have the same kind of space to run into, running behind, things like that. Didn't really play on the counter-attack. And because of that, I think he was found out that it wasn't a particularly good hold-up player. Mm. So maybe in that regard, it will be good. But honestly, I thought he'd like not set the Premier League alight, but essentially still be playing in the Premier League and doing quite well. And that just didn't come to pass at all. So I'm really interested by it, but I don't think I could tell you anything worthwhile on how I think this is going to go.
I think you probably summed that up for quite a lot of people, actually.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I would just add that, you know, we said at the start of the season, and it's actually come to pass that, you know, Spurs started really well. We're talking about what's realistic for them, and then we talked about how if they lose players, what comes along after them isn't very kind of deep. It's pretty thin gruel with respect to those players. They're either inexperienced or have spent a lot of time out injured or whatever. The drop-off's quite big. Timo Werner, you know, is a really experienced, top-level, international Champions League winning player who is, you know, it sounds a bit disrespectful saying he's another body in. He's a very, very good quality body who I think does suit perfectly, as Vish says, how Spurs want to play. So I think it's actually quite an exciting thing to have as a Spurs fan, if you were a Spurs fan. I think also, you know, they need players. I mean, it's just as simple as that. And I don't know whether there's time to relitigate how Werner was at Chelsea, but they won quite a lot of things. You know, I mean,
well, that's what I mean.
The issue is, I think, that he came off the back of a season, from what I remember, at Leipzig, and he had the best goal scoring season he's had. He just tore the Bundesliga up, the amount of goals he scored. Despite before or since not being like an extraordinary goal scorer, he's almost like a wide forward, really.
Yeah.
And then he didn't kind of replicate that. But of course, loads of attacking players over the years go all the way back to when Abramovich bought Chelsea. Loads of attacking players haven't necessarily replicated goal scoring. Chelsea aren't really a team who are known for having goal scoring strikers. I mean, their record goal scorer is Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
You know, and he broke the record of many, many years standing.
And Drogba was a striker who would score very important goals.
But he didn't score that many.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things. He's not scoring Salah numbers or anything like that.
But that's, I mean, that's no disrespect to Drogba.
He's no,
he's
brilliant.
Flipping, you know, Titan.
So I wonder whether it actually matters that people look at Werner's record at Chelsea and go, he didn't score that many goals or whatever. They won the Champions League. You know, there's not really anything bigger than that to win as a club. So it should really be
World
taken.
World Club Cup, which I think they won.
They also won that. Yeah. They did also win that, yeah. So.
He's not started that many games for RB Leipzig this season.
There's a reason why he's being let go.
Yeah, you know, of course. Yeah.
Right, I don't know. I haven't seen him play in... I haven't really seen him play.
Well, I think we can all agree that it is an intriguing one. Yeah. And we shall see how he gets on.
And that's... Sorry, partly the reason he hasn't started games is I think he's missed seventh through injury as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Ange Postecoglou was asked, can you afford to lose Eric Dier this month if Ben Davis is now injured? And he simply answered yes.
Yeah.
And Eric Dier has reportedly agreed terms with Bayern Munich.
Which Andy Brassel of this parish predicted, didn't
he? Which is a lovely move for him, and Harry Kane gets a mate.
That is definitely part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's definitely part of it. It's got to be. It's got to be part of it.
Well, maybe.
Harry Kane's that's what I love about football. It's just such a massive, complicated, sort of opaque thing. And Harry Kane's basically just said, by the way.
Yeah. He said, you know that at the start, we agreed that if I sort of started breaking records and I scored from the halfway line and all
okay,
that.
Okay, we hear you. Yeah. We'll bring Charlie Kane. No. No.
I think it's amazing that there's been a conversation clearly of some description where in training or after training, Harry Kane has said to, you know, Tuchel or whoever.
You're looking for a centre-half.
Do you want me to call Eric Dier? Because he'd probably be up for it. And that's quite a heartwarming thing that still happens in football.
Like, you know, on your five-a-side when someone pulls out in the morning, it's like, has anyone got a mate you can play?
Get a ringer in.
Eric?
Yeah. Yeah. You'll have to register him.
I hope that they deploy him as a defensive sort of holding midfielder.
I was having this conversation with someone over
booked.
The weekend.
I hope he gets booked. Yeah. He has to give another name.
Is it the same reason why I hope for it, though?
Probably not.
So they don't feel the need to go to Joao Palhinha. Yeah,
exactly, yeah. Maybe. But I just like...
Marcus in the press conferences, Thomas Tuchel. You've got everything you need in that area of the pitch, aren't you? Would you agree? Right, get that written. Get that written up. Get the copy in.
No more. No, you're not interested in anyone else from the Premier League who speaks Portuguese, yeah?
Yeah, because you know in that setting he can't necessarily do down Eric Dier.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, it sounds like you're really
Marcus just leaning back in his chair in the press conference. Oh, slide tackles are boring, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
I do, yeah. No further questions. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Can you at least wait for the second leg of the semi-final of the Carabao Cup to finish, yeah? Is the window still open at there?
We see it a lot in the continent that, like, because we consume so much of English football and by proxy so much of English players, it's quite cool when they go to the continent and other people have other opinions about them.
Totally.
And well, so it'd be cool if, because he started that in that position primarily. That was how he was coming through at Lisbon.
I know he's had his
Sporting.
Critics.
Sporting.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I know that he's had his critics and all that. He's not a terrible player. I think there is the player in Eric Dier. I think that he is of...
Here's the issue.
Starting for Bayern Munich obviously would be a...
No, but here's the issue as I understand it. It's just that he can't play how Postecoglou wants to play.
Yeah.
He's not fast enough to play such a high line and he's not good enough to get rid of the two centre-backs in front of him.
Yeah.
And he's not going to get a midfield berth.
And also, I think Bayern aren't particularly great defensively, if I'm right in saying this season.
But they primarily have a lot more of the ball than you would see at Spurs.
Indeed. Yeah. But also, Eric Dier's proven to be, you know, a squad player as well, which sometimes a big club, actually, that is quite handy to have.
Listen, you're absolutely right to say that. And if you look at Eric Dier, I mean, how old is Eric Dier now? He's not the youngest player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be 30 fairly soon. Mm-hmm. And he's going to one of the biggest clubs in the world. It's a great move for him.
The Premier League is just so self-absorbed a lot of the time, and I think you know if someone like Eric Dier does go abroad, you just say, oh, if it's Bayern, you sort of think, well, fair play to you. We want more Englishmen to go abroad, don't
honestly,
we?
Honestly, he's in line to win the Champions League now.
Exactly, and you've got to give people credit if they do sort of say, do you know what, actually. Sometimes I am going to have another adventure away from the Premier League.
I think it's great. Good on him.
Yeah, exactly. Although there are reports, though, that apparently Jordan Henderson's wanting to come back to the Premier League.
Yeah. It's embarrassing, isn't it? That's backfired, isn't
it? Yeah. We don't always applaud it when they go and leave the Premier League. Well, sometimes, no, you've got to stay here. If that's your only option, bloody stay here.
But if I go back to England, if I can change their attitude, if I can just make it a better place.
Do you think if Henderson comes back, do you think he'll reverse Brexit?
You refuse to play against Newcastle?
That would be... Don't you...
He'll score against Newcastle and put his hands in the air. Sorry.
Surely signing for Newcastle would be the ultimate, wouldn't it?
I love the conversation that he's broached with his agent about that. I just need to talk to you. And their agent's just going to go, mate, people are going to take the piss, mate. But like, those interviews you had to do, all that stuff you've been through, it was only 6 months ago.
I want people to think differently about me. I want to win people back on side. Sunderland boy signs for Newcastle, owned by the Piff Ponzi.
Yeah, I don't think Newcastle are on the cards. Oh, no, let's be honest.
I don't know, they need bodies in there, don't they?
Yeah, I don't think that's the reason it's not going to be on the cards, Marcus. Yeah. Well. There was a report this morning linking him with Chelsea. He's obviously not going to go to Chelsea either. Yeah.
Well, the Chelsea thing, that came up last night. The Chelsea thing was with, if Gallagher moves on. He's the whole all round, just absurd.
But when Jordan Henderson told everyone that it wasn't for the money to go to Saudi Arabia, and it was basically because
they should have asked Postecoglou whether Henderson was going for the money. Yes, mate, of course he is.
But he said, didn't he? He said, if anyone at Liverpool had spoken to me about my future there, I wouldn't have left, right? Basically saying, and I think this probably was a factor, it's probably a part of it was that, you know, Liverpool needed to refresh their midfield. Everyone knew that Henderson's getting older. He wasn't going to be as much a part of it as he
said,
was before.
If you want, you can stay.
And the captaincy thing and all the rest of it. He's then not going to go to Chelsea, the age he is, and sit around and not play. You know, I mean, I don't think it's likely that Pochettino, if they were to try and get Henderson in, he's not going to say to Henderson, you can play every game. I mean, Henderson wants to do presumably a variation of what, say, Lallana wanted to do, where he wanted to go to somewhere like Brighton because he'd play more.
Well, I was going
to
say, look at Milner, you know. I mean, but I think
maybe Milner as well.
Look, it's difficult. It's easy to say about someone else's career. It's more the fact that it's clear why he went to Saudi Arabia and clear why any of or the vast majority of those players go to Saudi Arabia. We've talked about this. We've talked about this a lot, of course. But if he did want to return to the Premier League, then his options, I think he would have options, let's be honest.
Definitely, yeah.
But it would be the kind of options that he would have had he have said to live. In fact, if he'll have fewer options now than when he left Liverpool.
100%.
And I think that's the thing, is that he probably could have gone to, obviously not going to go to some of the same size as Liverpool, crying out loud, there's very few clubs at all in the land that are that size. But he could have gone somewhere, that's a good solid move. Whereas now I think, clubs will have him, but I mean, you know, what about his wages though? Well, now I'm on 300 or 500.
Well, presumably, he's enough money to not have to worry about that.
Yeah, well, that's a bit interesting. So wage wise, I mean, he will have to take an enormous pay cut for obvious reasons, but he will still want a lot of money. But he's not young; he's still one of Gareth's guys. So
there's two factors to this, Marcus. One is
we'd have him at Fulham.
Well, I was just going to come on to say that. It's embarrassing for him personally because of all he's been through to go there, and if the reports are to be believed, he's now coming back. Really, with the tail between his legs, it wasn't worth it. You know, he's probably going to want to forget about it pretty quickly. Fine, that's his problem. That's nothing to do with anyone else. The other thing is the landing spots for him in the Premier League. You know, what does he bring? You know, he brings leadership, experience, the ability at a certain level to dictate a play and to be a really kind of decent, metronomic, energetic for his age kind of player in there. You are looking at teams probably like Brentford, Fulham, Wolves, Bournemouth, maybe, who are doing quite well, who might perhaps need a bit more of experience in that central part of the pitch. Time of record, now Brentford are on a terrible run. They're now really flirting with relegation, Brentford, which is a crazy thing to say, but they are. You know, could they benefit from having someone like him in there? I said they probably could. So he needs to think about his landing spot carefully because he's given absolutely no thought to his last one. And like you say, his stock has descended dramatically. And he's probably thinking, maybe, this is a wicked whisper, maybe he's had a word in his ear from Southgate saying, look, I can't carry on picking you.
That's something I wondered as well. At least just maybe leave no doubt that he'll be making that squad. I think the other thing to say is, like, as much as we've lambasted him for the choices he's made around his career, I think what you're getting as a player as well is someone who's clearly very good in a squad environment, very good.
Yeah, great leader,
You know, very good leader. And also someone, you know, if you look at how he was at Liverpool, you know, there's still a lot of grey area about why exactly he chose to leave when he did, beyond the money. And that's maybe me meeting him more than halfway and seeing his reasons at face value, or taking them at face value. But there was someone there who was the heartbeat of one of the best Liverpool teams we've seen in our lifetime here. Yeah. Speaking around this, well, certainly my lifetime, sorry.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. And there was clearly, it's been 6 months and we knew he was on the way in, you know, even in those, you know, final few months at Liverpool, maybe even the last season or so. There was clearly a very talented player there who would do a very good job for a lot of Premier League clubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Manchester United being one of them.
Might be tricky. You know what?
It's not the most ridiculous thing.
Alex Ferguson hates him, doesn't he?
Well, because of his gait.
Yeah.
No, it is. No, it's his attitude. That's the thing.
I just think it's easy for Southgate to stand by Henderson and pick him in squads when you're in a qualifying campaign. You know you're going to win. When it comes down to the crunch, when the squads are being named in the summer, what does that mean?
What does it mean, everybody? Well, the aforementioned Manchester United are playing former FA Cup winners Wigan tonight. Notice I hadn't called Manchester United former FA Cup winners.
Well, this is speaking of FA Cup winners, I was done dirty again on Friday, wasn't I?
Were you?
By the Gary Neville, Paul Scholes answers from someone around this table.
Yeah, but wasn't you sound like Michael Richards? He always says, "Don't do me dirty, Gary. Don't do me dirty."
How long has he been in Corrie for?
Don't do me dirty.
We're excited for the game tonight.
Very
excited for all the obvious reasons.
All the obvious reasons, because we're all going to do Manchester United dirty.
Who wants to see Eric Ten Hag looking sad? Hands up, I do.
Who will see Eric Ten Hag?
Fingers crossed.
Sad?
Crossed.
Poor Eric.
And that's just because Donny van der Beek's left on loan.
He has, yeah.
I do love that Sean Maloney is Wigan,
it's great.
Wigan manager.
It's great.
Just Wigan's that connection to the FA Cup.
Through and through.
Lovely player.
It'd be nice to see Paul Jewell in the away end, talking of sort of Wigan men.
Do
you remember his sex tape?
Exactly. Where's that come from?
Is that why you mentioned it? You wanted to get out there?
I just suddenly thought of Paul Jewell.
Aaron's 7 minutes into the show. You're still a bit tough, Paul Jewell.
Yeah.
You would just squeeze Paul Jewell in there. You can't
don't
pass
say
that.
Squeeze.
Don't say that.
Don't say squeeze.
God, yeah. Bennett. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part
thank
of the
God
Acast Creative Network. Myself and Vish will be back on Wednesday alongside Jim and Andy before Ramble reacts on Wednesday night for the big one, Liverpool versus Fulham.
Shit or bust, baby.
Yeah, well, no, it's the first leg.
Oh, yeah, true. No, very much shit or bust. Could be about 6 mil.
We want 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would be awful, wouldn't
it? Yeah. Very much. I mean, it could be. Let me put it another way. Oh. You could very much get a flavour of what might happen in the second leg, the first leg.
Well, follow us on X, currently or formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app, everybody. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you for Tushin Antaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.